Okay, well, it's great to be here tonight. This is our next rotation. Thank you, Richard. Our next rotation, and the topic of this rotation is going to be the Christian at work. So what we want to do at this class is talk about our workplace, how we can be effective at work, based on Proverbs. And so what I want to do to start with is what I wanted to do for this class is just do a brief introduction about Proverbs, because I started with, what kind of an idea of what are Proverbs, what do they mean, get kind of an understanding of that. So I want to present something that I thought was very interesting when I studied it. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 1:1-7, and I just want to read this passage. It introduces Proverbs and kind of talks, God gives us in a very clear way what the purpose of them are. Okay. Let's see. So we're going to start in verse 1, chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Amen. When I became a disciple and started really reading the Bible, one of my favorite books was the book of Proverbs, because it kind of gave you all these little ideas in bite-sized pieces. I liked reading, that's cool. And so I kind of gravitated toward it when I first was a disciple. And it gave me a lot of really insight, like just little pieces of information. And what was interesting about it was I looked at it it seemed like it had a lot of impact when I was a young disciple. When I was a young person, I was about 20 years old when I became a disciple. So it really hit me, and it gave me a lot of advice for here I am just starting my life out, and it was like giving me a lot of good direction for where I could go with my life, in terms of how to guide me. Well, I'm 48 today, and
youngster.
Yeah, and I look at it, 28 years later, and I'm looking at it, and this proverb still hit me. And I read this. I read this passage about let the simple get prudence. Yeah. And so I was simple when I was 20. And so all of you guys are young. Simple doesn't necessarily mean it's not trying to slam you or anything. But when we're young, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of wisdom. Yeah. So this is a great book to study, in terms of how to get some good guidance. And when you're 48, it says let the wise listen and add to their learning. There's debate as to whether I'm wise or not, but I think I'm wiser. 48 than I was when I was 20. And it says this, but I still need to listen. There's still something in here, for all of us. And that's the point I want to make is, there's something there for all of us.
Yeah.
In these, whether you think you know it all, or you think or you know you don't know it all, there's something that's going to help you. I look at it like, let me ask you a question. Are Proverbs commands? It's just kind of not necessarily looking for an answer, but just kind of food for thought. Because I started, is it a command? Are they commands? I look at it like I'm starting to teach on Sunday these kids, they're kindergartners and first graders, and I walked in and Sunday I said something to them. I said, you know what I am? I am your snack advocate. I want you to get a snack. I'm pulling for you really hard to get a snack. And you'll find this in a second. And they kind of looked at me, okay. I said, but, to get a snack, I'm going to help you obey, the class. I'm going to help you, do the right thing, and I'm going to give you some advice, in a sense, though, I'm giving them commands. Like I'm telling them, don't do this, please don't talk with the teacher. So you give them rules, but you also give them a lot of guidance. You give them a lot of guidance. And I think, Proverbs to me, it hit me, it's like, you know what? The Proverbs are kind of like God's our snack advocate. He wants us to be happy. Fundamentally, how many people walk around and commit suicide at the age of 35? Because, they're not happy. How many people, you do a poll, you read the news, and I'm not happy. So, God wants us to be happy. You know, to a certain degree, God wants us, we're going to talk about this tonight, wants us to have a little bit, you know, he wants us to have our needs met. He wants us to enjoy ourselves, you know, while we're here, you know, as we live to go to heaven. Jesus said, I came to give him life and give it to the full. So God is our snack advocate. And really, Proverbs are simply something that you can, you don't have to, you know, in a sense, you don't have to do, listen to them. You know, I don't, you know, I mean, someone, you know, and we'll read these as we go on, but keep that in mind. You know, I kind of think they're God trying to help us and give us guidance. You know, does it mean if I blow, you know, because I read through them, and I blew that one. I blew that one. I blew, you know, and they're there to help you learn from it. There's other passages in the scriptures that talk about commands. You know, I'm not saying there's no commands in Proverbs. I'm saying, in a sense, what we're trying to do here is get some good guidance. So when we present this, you know, realize that this is just, I think, the Lord trying to help us get a good direction. Now, the final thing I want to point out is I made this little drawing, and if you don't know what this is supposed to be, I'll explain it. I'm an engineer, so I really focused on the foundation. You see, that's supposed to be a foundation. I mean, you put a little stippling on it and everything, you know, concrete, you know, this foundation. And this is supposed to be a building that you build something, you know, you build something on. And Proverbs are right on top of it, you know. And the point I want to make is, in verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, ingredient, you know, these Proverbs really are much more effective. And sometimes, you know, I've lived sometimes, or I've had, you know, I've known people that live and say, these Proverbs, they don't work. They're not really true. But I would contend that probably what you're missing is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
You've got to have that ingredient in there if they're going to be effective. So just that's also something, you know, kind of a, you know, keep that in mind. It's not really in fine print. God puts it right out there for us. You know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to get wisdom, it's got to start with the fear of the Lord. You know, there's not very many wise people out there that don't have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay. Again, I want to do one more little introduction, because I thought this was very interesting. I previewed it. Okay. This is the Hebrew word. That's okay. They know what it says already. Mashah, I think is how it's pronounced. It's 419 in Strong's Concordance. 4912, excuse me. And basically, a proverb is a phrase expressing a basic truth which may be applied to common situations. We read it and we say, that's just, you know, and Molly's proverbs just hit us as true, don't they? Just kind of ring in there. Yeah, that makes sense. But there's also a couple other places where the same Hebrew word is used that I think is very interesting, that I want us to expand our minds of what proverb is supposed to do for us. Isaiah 14:4, the word proverb, the context of that word mashal is used as a taunt. He's actually taunting somebody. And you read some of these proverbs, you will feel like you've been taunted. It's like, you know, I look at it like I read a couple of these. It's like, God's talking trash to me. He's taunting me. He's telling me. But you know what? Sometimes ridicule is a very powerful motivator, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, sometimes the best way I've gotten motivated to change is when I look at myself and realize, I'm getting some ridicule here. So, you know, some of these proverbs we're going to read, and you're going to see, hey, I'm being taunted here. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You know. Think about that. And then the next one is an oracle. I'll just let them all out. Okay, the next one's an oracle. In Numbers 23:7-12, Balaam is quotes a proverb. He quotes it, the word as a proverb. The same word mashal is used when Balaam is asked, you know, Balak asks him to curse the Jewish people. And he says, I can't do it. The Spirit won't let me say a curse. I've got to say what's true. He's presenting an oracle that Israel will be blessed as they enter the promised land. That's in the book of Numbers. And some of these proverbs you'll see, they will predict the future. There's a lot of if-then statements. If you do this, trust it. It will happen. And there's a lot of these proverbs. You got to trust them. And then the final one, also it can mean a parable, which is a brief, succinct story in prose or verse that illustrates a moral or religious lesson. Jesus taught in parables. And so a lot of times that word also meant parable. And there's some proverbs that can be interpreted as parables. I mean, again, that same parable about going to the ant, you sluggard. You know, he's using the ant to illustrate a truth to us. So I wanted to share that because you're asking, here we are, and how are we going to do a class, a series of three classes on the Christian at work? So Peter and I got together, we kind of put our heads together, we went through, and let's see. We said, how are we going to do three classes? And we broke, and we kind of came up with three different topics that we want to cover in terms of Proverbs. We looked at it, we went through, we found about 98 Proverbs that, like, this could do with work or going, or, you know, or for students going to school, interact, you know, somewhere that you've got a responsibility. That, you know, these Proverbs could apply to, you know, being at school. We found about 98. You know, we got sifted through them. And so what we're going to do is we have a little study guide, a little brochure for this series of three classes. And you'll see we put it together. We went through it, found 98. And then we started reading it, and we kind of put it together in three categories. And the first class we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about this tonight, is class one. We're talking about work. How's your perspective on work? You know, how do you feel about work in general? The idea that you have to work. The idea that, you know, maybe you don't have to work. You know, that's also an option. You know, but, you know, the idea that work is part of our life. So we're going to look at it from, you know, about 10,000 feet, looking down. And then the second class next week is going to be, how are your relationships at work or at school? How's your relationships? And then the third class is going to be, how's your motivation? And so what we've done is taking these scriptures and kind of put them in order, but kind of thematic, and it's a study guide. If you can bring this to class next couple of weeks, it'll really help us as we go through as we reference some of these parables. We'll kind of reference them off of here, and we'll go from there. Okay, we're going to start now. Let's start. The first class again tonight is going to be, how's your perspective about work? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce two concepts or two byproducts, well, two aspects of our perspective about work that we maybe sometimes that the Proverbs seem to really talk to a lot. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 17. Genesis chapter 3. And so, as you know, if you're familiar with the book of Genesis, this is about the time at which Adam and Eve ate the apple and got in big trouble. And God is pronouncing judgment on their sin, the first sin. So we're going to pick it up in verse 17. He's already talked to the serpent. He's already talked to the woman, telling her, you know, your curse is going to be, you'll greatly increase your pains in childbearing. You know, with pain you'll give birth to your children. Your desire will be for your husband. So we see that. When we know that, you know, we all don't like snakes. I mean, most of us. I don't. Anyway. You know, we have a little fear of them. No need to eliminate them. And now, verse 17 talks to the man. So particularly all of us men, we need to listen. But the ladies, you all need to listen to. But the men particularly. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And I can imagine, you know, what he's saying there. Let's kind of go through this a little bit. The first thing, you know, he talks about is basically through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. I think the first observation we've got to make is work is not necessarily supposed to be, you know, easy, no problem. There's an aspect of suffering and painful toil to work that he gave us. God in his wisdom said, because of the sin, because of this condition, I'm giving it to you. Work is not going to be easy. Necessarily. It might be at times if we're blessed. But for the most part, the idea of it is it's supposed to be, okay, through painful toil, you will eat. You will survive. So there's a sense of it's God's will for us, as men particularly, or men absolutely, and women maybe lesser, to work. That's God's will. You know, sometimes we fight, you know, God's will with not wanting to work. I've got to confess. I want to tell a story. Not a confession. It's a story. But there's a little confession in it, I guess you'll see. Back in 2008, I got laid off. I had been working since 1988. I graduated, got my first job, and this is for the first time in my life, I'd been laid off once before, but I had immediate opportunity, so I didn't have any time off. I got laid off in 2008, it was February, and I had about a month off, or about a month, you know, that between the time I was able to get another job. And I've got to say, I had a great time being off. I mean, you know, I was like, man, I was still getting up. I wasn't slacking totally. You know, Jessica was going to work, so I was getting up with her. But man, 8 o'clock, I'm going to go run my bike over to Matthew's cafeteria and have the eggs and bacon and, you know, read the paper, relax, you know, and whew, this is great, you know. And, just simple stuff. You know, I don't know if you guys can relate to that being a real pleasure, but it was for me. You know, I think I'm going to go to La Vista, North Lake Mall, and just kind of go shop for some, I got some errands to run, you know, so I'll just go, you know, and then just that 4 weeks flew by so fast. that was the first time in 20 years I hadn't had, that was the first time in 20 years I didn't have to go to work the next day. I didn't have this thing. And I remember I was blessed enough to get another job, and I will admit, usually when you get a new job, the first Monday, you kind of like get up adrenaline. Oh, what's it going to be like today? Is it going to, where am I going to go? You know, meet new people, you know, and you kind of have this excitement. I've got to confess, when I woke up that morning, I said, I don't want to go to work. I told my wife, I said, I don't want to go. and then I finally said, you know what this is? This is the curse of Adam. That's right. I'm living it out. We get to heaven. You know, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I think it's going to be, you know, one thing I'm looking forward to is having, maybe some good vacation, I had, maybe my longest vacation was 2 weeks, and so I'm not saying I didn't have vacation or anything, but you know, it's the, you know, the curses that we have to have, there is a degree of suffering, you know. How many of us really, honestly, have dream about not having to work, if you're honest? What would it be like if I didn't have to go to work? Or if I was just, if I won the lottery, maybe that's why we're fan. We sometimes are too obsessed with celebrity. Yeah. I think we jealous, and in some ways, just a little bit of envy. Like, man, what's it must be like to be a movie star where you work for like 4 weeks and you get paid like $18 million, and then you kind of take the rest of the time off, I think we have a little bit of. But there's that in us. But there's that battle within us about the fact that there's a degree of suffering involved in us working. You know, the other thing I think is interesting is he says, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. There's no retirement in God's, did God talk about retirement? Honestly. I mean, that's kind of, in fact, if you look at the world history, really, retirement is really just kind of a recent, maybe a century and a half, as we've increased, as our economic progress as a society, as a world, has allowed more leisure time. We've become enamored with leisure time. But most people that have ever lived, that we will meet in heaven, probably never, until about retirement, they'll say, what was that? What are you talking about? They work until, God's will was for them to work until went to the ground. And maybe, it's convicting, maybe food for thought, maybe we're, kind of kicking against that a little bit. And we try to, we just strive for leisure, we strive for, that. Food for thought. Work is not necessarily designed to fulfill us. God and going to heaven is what's going to fulfill us. Amen. And I think that's why God says, thorns and thistles. You got your fantasy job out there? There's probably no such thing as a fantasy job. Now, it's a gift of God if you can enjoy your work. But there's always going to be thorns and thistles in your jobs. There's always going to be something like, oh, that was tough. He said, through painful toil. Well, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to continue another thought here about our work and our perspective about work. We need to have a healthy perspective about it. That's what I'm trying to get here. The goal is to try to give us a healthy perspective about our work. Not to have too high a view of it, not to have too low a view of it. Important, but also put it in the right perspective. And I want to share this passage because I think this to me was something that comes out of it, even out of the curse that God gave us. We have to work. It says, where does all of our sustenance come from? Besides, you know, what does God use? Because it comes from God, but what does God use to give us our sustenance? He gives us, if you think about it, He gives us the ground, the earth. If you think about most of us, you know, I don't pretend to be an economics expert or anything. I think the economic experts I sometimes watch on TV aren't economics experts either. So I feel like I can say something. And I don't think there's any such thing as an economics expert. You know, even those guys who go to school, they still confess, I don't know what's going on here. I can't figure out why we've got, you know, 14% unemployment and we can't get things going. I mean, you know, it's still a mystery for everybody, no matter where you're at, no matter what side you're in. But one thing I do know is that wealth comes from the ground. If you think about if we didn't have this organized society, how would we survive? We'd grow. I always think to myself sometimes. I don't know if you think this way, but it's like, what happens if I'm stranded in my house? Like, you know, we have this. You know, the nuclear bomb goes off. You know, we're all stranded in our house, and society breaks down. How would I survive? Well, I have to start planting some crops in the backyard.
That's right.
I gotta go find me a cow, or a goat, or something. You know, I mean, I gotta get back to basics. You know, I've gotta go find me some water, fresh water. You know. I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm trying to survive. You know, our societal, but at the fundamentals of our society, our wealth comes from the ground. It comes from agriculture. It comes from the miners. It comes from mining, the minerals out of the ground, oil. You know, all these things are means of production that allow us to have a society. Most of us work in jobs. We're basically middlemen. Yeah. In the process from getting the barters, you know, I want to take corn and I want to get it so I can eat it, so I don't starve, and so I can feed my kids. You know, most everything we do, if you look at what we do, you know, particularly in the United States, is basically middlemen getting stuff out of the ground and getting it to us. Now, why do I say that? I'm not trying to make an economics lesson here. But I think it's very interesting that He cursed the ground. It was hard work. But let's read chapter 8, verse 18. And this is after they had entered the promised land. The Israelites have been rescued from slavery. He says, verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. And one thing we all hope that we get out of our work is wealth. You know, God gives us the ability as we work to produce wealth. And so this curse, there's really two byproducts from this curse that we live in until we get to heaven, that we live in here in this creation. The first byproduct is suffering, and the second byproduct is wealth. And they don't seem to have much in common. The one thing I want to submit to you they do have in common, especially if you go back and read through these Proverbs, in that part of the booklet, is you'll see that it requires a lot of wisdom to handle them right.
Yeah.
They both of those can ruin your life.
Yes.
Both of them can keep you from going to heaven if you don't handle them right. It doesn't talk about the quantity of either of those issues either. Some people can have a whole lot of wealth, and you know they still might make it. Some people might have a whole lot of suffering, and they can still make it. Some people might have just a little bit of wealth and can still make it. And some people can have just a little bit of suffering and still make it. It's how you handle it.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about, Peter's going to come up now and run from here, and we're going to talk about, you know, suffering and wealth in more detail. Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay, just as a point of clarification, if you ask your teenagers where wealth comes from, I think it'd probably be the ATM. But they're wrong. Okay. How many of you went to work today? Almost the whole room. Great. How many of you hate your jobs? How many of you love your jobs? Oh, I got a few. How many of you hate and love your jobs? Well, depending on which day I ask you. It depends on which day I ask you, doesn't it? Well, we have a nice list here. But you need to make it all over again because there's no way I'm going to let you off the hook that easy. So I got to find the blank sheet here. See? What you don't know about me, or most of you probably don't know about me, is I used to teach high school. I love the idea of a small group because I can ask questions and expect you to answer them. I'm not the sermon kind of a guy. I'm a teaching kind of a guy. It's love and hate, in case you can't read my handwriting. I'm trying very hard to stay near the microphone because I got in trouble for not being recordable. Okay, so I pace a lot. Let's start with hate. I want to know, what do you hate about your jobs? Give me some specifics.
Money.
Money, or lack of it?
Lack of
it, yes. Okay, I was going to say, if you hate the money, I can't help you. Okay.
Lack
of money. Okay. What else? Yeah.
We have a lot of different systems on a lot of different platforms, and they don't talk to each other until they issue this. Integration. Yeah.
Failure to integrate.
Yes.
That's systems integration. All the techies in the room understand that, right? Let's see. Back in the back. Clients' attitudes. Fortunately, it's never your attitude, right? It's just theirs. Right. Okay.
Clients' attitudes.
Yeah, I said that totally in good faith. Come on. What else? Someone on the side. Yeah, what do you hate?
Stress.
Yes. That's been my topic all week at work, so I'm totally with you on that one. Yes.
Location.
Location. What? You have to drive to work or something?
No, just
bad place, okay.
Location.
Yeah. Meetings. Oh, come on. If there weren't meetings, I wouldn't have a social life.
Company politics.
Politics. Okay, let's see. Back in the back, Steve.
Commuting.
Yeah, he has to drive the van pool. Come on.
Long hours.
Yeah. Long hours. You know, they're all 60 minutes. Come on now. Jay Leno took my job. This is my only chance. Okay. Okay, I have room for two more. Yes.
Jokes or
stupid jokes at work. Yeah. Sorry.
A lack of flexibility. I actually have to show up at a particular time and stay till a
particular.
Lack of flexibility. There you go.
Co-worker.
You want to give us some names? Okay. We'd like a list of names later, and we'll pray for them, okay? So, the fact is, it's pretty easy to find things we hate about work. Okay? However, good news, we'll find it's not too hard to find things we love about work, I hope. So, what do you love about work?
Yes.
I'm sorry, but
getting paid.
Little sidebar, did you know we're the only currency in the world that uses
U and an S?
We use the initials of our country for our currency. Anyway. Hey, kind of cool. Roxanne. Making a difference, yeah? Paid time off.
We'll keep that in. PTO, yeah,
why not?
Freedom. Not having somebody over your shoulder all the time.
Okay. If you're blessed with that, that's a great thing.
Freedom to work, to do your job, right?
Freedom to do your job.
The benefits.
The benefits. In our society, it's kind of handy to have a job because that's where you mostly get your medical care, right? Yeah.
I'm feeling useful.
Feeling useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, just a sidebar, Jeff talks about his unemployment. Richard can vouch for this because I called him and said, we need to have lunch today because I'm really depressed. When I was laid off, I didn't do so well with that. I wanted to go to work. I wasn't happy and go lucky. I was like, okay, I'm stressed. I need to pray. I need to get, you know. But that's just me. I'm a workaholic, I suppose, right? What do you love?
Co-workers.
Co-workers.
You know what?
Trade jobs, okay.
Being the boss.
Being the boss. Ooh.
Power trip.
Well, we need some counseling later. Okay, so. Fulfilling. Okay, one more. That's all I got room for. Way in the back.
Lunch break.
Touchdown. What's your favorite class at school? Recess. Okay. How am I on time? Okay. I thought I had the comedy act, you know? Y'all steal it. Okay. Here's the reality. There is no perfect job. And the one thing you can't change about the job is who you are when you show up. You have to deal with that. You know, some of you have never had a good job. At some point, you need to start thinking about maybe it's me. Maybe I need to be different at work. And that's kind of our point here. We have some nice little proverbs about work. And you know, you can flip to Proverbs. I'll be there for a while. Or you can flip to the little booklet we handed out. Either way, because these are all there. Most of us are somewhere in the middle about work. It's amazing how many of you raised your hands when I asked how many of you both love and hate work. You have good days. You have some not so good days. All right? There are days when I get up and I say, today, I'm going to get in there. I'm getting this done. I'm getting this done. I'm fired up. I'm going to get in there. It's great. There are days when I start that way, and by the end of the day, I'm walking wounded, trying to find my way to my car and get home in one piece. Okay? There are days when I just don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to deal with life. Okay? My point there is it's your attitude. You know, we're talking about what's your perspective with work. Well, Jeff brought us into suffering, wealth. You have suffering, you have wealth. Hey, guess what? You're going to continue to have suffering and wealth. What's your attitude? What's your perspective? Proverbs 6. Now, some of you are probably disgusting morning people, right? Raise your hands. Confess. Are you a morning person? You love getting up in the mornings. You just, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Okay. The rest of us don't like you. No. Okay. We like you anyway. But I'm not a morning person. When I read Proverbs 6, verse 9, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit. That speaks to me. I'm a pretty hard worker. And I, you know, certainly put in more than my fair share of work at my office. I, you know, I do what I need to do. But if I had my choice. One of our biggest challenges at work can be the perspective we bring to it. How many of you think of yourselves as, you know, I am lazy? Don't raise your hand. No, you don't confess. Okay. I do. I'm lazy. I would prefer not to work. I would prefer not to be industrious. I'd prefer not to go to the details and document everything I'm supposed to do and finish all this work and make all those phone calls and, you know, whatever. I don't want to do it. You know, my laziness kicks in. But Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make a man poor. Diligent hands bring wealth. Suffer? Well, you're in control. Now, I'm willing to wake up in the morning for the rewards. That's really the bottom line. If I won the lottery, first I'd have to play the lottery, but if I won the lottery, I studied math way too long. You know, odds against me, doesn't work, okay, I'm done. But little tip there, when you drive up to a casino, any gamblers in the room? As you drive up to the casino, ask yourself, who paid for this magnificent building? Oh, that would be the losers. Just remember that, okay? Anyway. They're making a lot of money when you're playing, okay? So, but I'm willing to wake up for the rewards, okay? But loving work, hating work, either way, we have to work through these things. Now, laziness at work, you know the best way that shows up? I saw a wonderful cartoon illustrating, you know, Facebook was down for a day. Half the companies in the country were more productive. Fess up. I run the network at my work. I know how many people are surfing. Okay. What are some, you know, money, you work for money, right? Most of us probably wouldn't work if we weren't getting paid. Some of us may have jobs where, you know what, I'd do it for no money. A guy named Paul had that job. He preached for free and made tents for the money on the side, right? Apparently he was pretty good at making tents, though, so he could make it work. Okay? But most of us work for money. But what are the other rewards? What are the rewards you get from work other than money? Yeah?
Peace of mind for doing a good job.
Peace of mind, yeah.
Friendships.
Friendships? See somebody else who likes meetings. Okay. Yes. Humility? You can learn a lot about yourself, can't you?
I just know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay. Okay, Rob?
Recognition.
Recognition? Okay.
Respect.
Keep your mind sharp.
Keep your mind sharp. Okay. Got room for one more than enough. Yeah.
Knowledge and experience.
Knowledge. Oh, stuck to it on me. Knowledge and experience. See why I quit teaching? Nobody can read the handwriting even when I print. Okay. These are some of the rewards that you get for working. The reality is, you know, God's design, yeah, it's the curse of Adam. But it's also what we're built to do. Okay? You know, and some of our jobs aren't terribly fulfilling. My son-in-law will tell you, Americans are really funny. What is this fulfillment at work thing all about? It's a job. Yeah. Okay. You know, it's a job. That's what we're here for. God designed us that way. You know, and I have to jump in on, you know, Jeff. Yeah, the man is doomed to the work. But what about the woman? I think working woman is redundant, right? Whether you're working outside the home or working at home, believe me, I have a beautiful wife who for many, many years was able to stay home or mostly stay home, and I've been blessed with jobs that let that happen, and that's been a good thing. She works twice as hard as I ever have every day. You know, let's recognize that. But, you know, the fact is we're designed to work. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to get recognition. You're going to get respect. But even more, you're going to have self-respect when you work. I wouldn't mind being wealthy enough not to have to work. But judging by my behavior when I was laid off, I'd still be looking for something to do to fill those days. I don't sit still well. God didn't design us that way. Who's been unemployed for a period of time here? Want to share your feelings? How did you feel when you were unemployed, when you had no work to do? I'm not going to write all these down, just keep things moving.
Bored.
Bored? Bored, okay. Daytime TV is not that good, trust me. Okay.
I'm sorry?
Worthless. Yeah, that's, you know, I had to get up in the mornings and I'd get dressed for work just because if I didn't, I felt like I'm such a bum. I can't do this. You know, it's like, it's hard to maintain that sense of respect. George?
I mean, I want to say mine's inadequate.
Inadequate, you know? And I think, you know, it is. It's like you've been brought up all your life. I'm supposed to work. I'm supposed to contribute.
Especially as a man.
And now I can't. You know, yeah, I'm the breadwinner, and I'm not winning any bread. And when I was laid off, I was not only not winning any of my bread, neither was my wife. It was scary. Yes?
I enjoyed it because it allowed me more time to
spend. Jeff?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Okay. So you made use of the time to do other things, which, and that provides a good thing. Yeah.
It's free.
Free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free to do well. I mean, I had to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
I had to go to work.
Okay. Yeah.
Not useful.
I went through the stages of grief.
Yeah. You would, yeah.
Yeah. Anger, a sense of like very like self-esteem took a huge hit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you kind of go through a grief process, and especially, I mean, you work. You have not been unemployed for 20 years. In my case, it was about the same, 20 years. You know, and maybe more, 22, 23 years of my life, I've been working. That's what I do. That's my self-definition. You know, and hopefully not totally so, because God created me, right? But you tie up so much in it. God designed us to work, okay? So the fact is there are rewards, both financial and otherwise, to working, and there can be difficulty when you don't work. Now, let me ask a more fun question, okay? You are so wealthy that you never have to work again. Hypothetically. I can't do that for you. I'm not Oprah. Okay, but that said, okay, what are you going to do? I know you've thought about it. Come on. Some of you raised your hands on that one, right, Steve?
Get a master's degree.
Get a master's, okay.
I'm free.
Okay? And this isn't free, unemployed, scared, worried about where's the food coming from. This is free. I'm rich. I can do this. Okay? So you get a master's. Right for school, right? Yeah?
Spend time with disciples in another country.
Okay. Disciples. Overseas.
Okay. George.
Church building.
Buy the church building. There you go. Here it is, cash. I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Find ways to serve the poor.
Find ways to serve. Okay. Let's see, Tammy.
Stop
called a nonprofit organization called Pay It
Forward. Okay. Forward. I think that nonprofit's already started, though, actually, but something like that, yeah. Yeah.
Spend most of the day in a gym.
Spend the day in the gym.
Work on the other side of the park.
Ow. There's counseling available for you, too. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Start a business so I can give other people jobs.
Ah.
There you go.
What are you, a Republican? It's okay, Richard.
I mean, I'm surprised nobody's saying they're going to preach.
Preach! I'll ask JC to vouch for me. What did I say I would do when we had that meeting? Retire early so I can do it. Anyway. Yeah. Except I teach.
Homeless
shelter. Okay. Here's reality. And I'm running out of time, so we're going to wind up here. I have another good list. But here's the reality. You bring a perspective to your work. What are you working for? If you're working to amass more wealth so you can build a bigger barn, Jesus had something to say about that. Okay? If your goal is wealth, you are aiming way too low. Okay? If your goal is suffering, there's counseling available. But if your goal is these things, how does that motivate you? See, that retirement thing, I know it's a new concept, last 100 years or whatever, but retirement for me, if I came into retirement early, there's a lot of fun stuff I could be doing. I could be serving God and nobody has to pay me. Oh man, that would be cool. And a lot of you came down to basically that, right? There are a lot of good things you can do. You can accomplish a lot. So what's your attitude at work? Are you there suffering through a day of somebody giving you orders and you're doing your job? Or are you taking a long view, a proverbial view, and being, and I love working this into this class, so I'll say it again, are you being a proverbial worker? I like it. You don't have to. I'm amusing myself at least. Okay. So tell me, what are you going to do, practically speaking, to be a proverbial worker? And we're down to no minutes left, so I'm going to just take them and not write them down. But what can you do starting tomorrow morning to be the proverbial worker, to have God's view toward work? Practicals now. Yeah.
Whatever I do, I should do it like if I'm doing it for God.
Oh, yeah. There's this verse. Used to have it as a wallpaper on my computer. Whatever you do, work as though working for the Lord. Okay, that memorize that, put it in your brain. Yeah, what else can you do practically?
Consider others better than yourself.
Consider others better than myself. Let me be humble and go learn. Yeah.
Do everything without arguing and
complaining. Oh, you mean that's not just for the kids? Do everything without arguing or complaining. Okay. Yeah.
See your workplace as an opportunity, not just something to get through.
Change your perspective.
Yep.
Okay? Change your perspective. See work as an opportunity. George. Accept it.
Right.
Okay? God built me to work. That's an awesome thing. What else can you do? I'm going to keep fishing because there's one you got to say and no one said it yet. Come on. Yeah.
Just live my life shining.
Let your light shine. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Good. You know. Go to work and be an example of a worker. If you're conscious of, I'm an example of a worker. I've had this occasionally, not every day, certainly not every job. But someone comes up and says, why are you so happy all the time? You can pray about it. I was fishing for that. Thank you so much. Yep, hold each other accountable. But pray, yeah. Do you have your quiet time in the morning? Do you pray about your job? You know? Pray that you'll be a great disciple at work. Pray that you will influence others. Pray that your day will be fulfilling, that you'll do what you need to do. Yeah, pray about it. You know, God is powerful. He works. Let's see. There's a minute.
Be joyful through all situations.
Be joyful. Just choose to be joyful in all situations. You're getting yelled at. Be joyful. Okay?
Use it as a mission field.
Use it as a mission field. Kind of like looking at work as an opportunity, right? It's a mission field. Meetings are places to be social. Well, you know, think about that. But in any case, but I keep going back to that. That's my life, meetings. But that said, you know, use it as an opportunity. We're going to wind up here with a quick word of prayer. But I appreciate you guys because really you taught this class. If you think about it, most of the ideas came from you. The fact is, you know how to be good workers. You know how to be the proverbial worker. You can read through that pamphlet we passed out, and I recommend it. Great place for some quiet times. Chew on it. Think about how it applies to my job. Make it personal. Okay? What can I do tomorrow that will be different? But the truth is, you probably knew just about everything we said. You're smart. You got it. The question is, are you doing it? Pray about it. Help each other do it. Let's go be shining lights.
Amen.
Let's make people come up and ask us at work, what motivates you? Because whatever it is, I want some of it. We can be those people. Some of you have been those people. We all can. So that's the challenge.